Oh, well, hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 79, Episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist. You know the podcast where we take a deep dive, I guess? Yeah, we'll call it a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and you know how we do it. Off the rip. Fuck Coke Industries.
Yep.
And fuck Fox News. Thank you. Now, we can move on to more important business. Yes, it's Thursday, April 25th, 2019. It is I, Miles Gray, a.k.a. the straight wildin', not racial profiling, bird scooter riding, fake PJ flying, kiss stealing from Her Majesty, wheeling and emotionally feeling, son of a tragically broken home, 17-time heavy take, champion of the world, the Great Boy, Thick Flair. Woo! God damn.
Oh.
Shout out to my bro. Shout out to your motherfucking broken home, too. That AKA coming from Crispy Meme Donut. Crispy Yamaguchi, man, I saw you trying to get me to do that one. I saw you packaging it, repackaging it, like these agents do with their writers. I got to it. So shout out to you. And you know what? Even though it's WCW, I fuck with Ric Flair. And I am pleased to be joined because, again, as always, when Jack is not here, he's always on the hunt for some perfect sandal, and his latest journey has taken him to the Bay Area, where he has met somebody who has some dead stock Birkenstocks from the late 80s that he's been trying to get his hands on. So our thoughts are with Jack until he comes back tomorrow. But for now, I am thrilled to be joined by one of the greats on this show, and someone who I can say is a friend of mine.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I just put that on.
You really, this is uncomfortable, but
well,
okay.
I'm about to make it more uncomfortable.
We'll talk about
Please
it off
welcome
air.
My special guest co-host, Mr. Andrew T.
Bust down Thought Tiana.
Hey!
Bust down Thought Tiana. I want to see Drew bust down.
Ooh. Okay. You got a fucking blue face in the building.
Oh my God, that's funny. I feel like I've been working on that since that song came out. And so that's as good as it got.
I like how you did it like a spoken word prose kind of thing.
Well, I realized that the actual AKA name check part was probably too subtle to actually read. So I had to say, especially, I want to see Drew bust down.
Want to see Drew bust down. It's like reminds me of Def Poetry Slam. On
yeah.
HBO.
Well, I did it for, you know, this is for the listening audience. I did do the hand thing, too.
You did.
I did the poetry
to your credit,
hand thing.
You did bust down.
Thank you.
And in our third seat, we are thrilled to be joined by another first-time guest, but someone I know personally. I met even at my last gig at Wired Magazine when he was running an open mic where I had someone do all jokes told by an Alexa on stage.
Would you say he's more tired or wired?
I would say he's wired as fuck.
Yeah, well,
and a friend of yours, a friend of ours, please welcome hilarious comedian Mr. Steve Hernandez.
Yeah, great to be here, fellas.
Thank you for raising the hand, too. Yeah, like Cal Ripken in his
retirement
game.
Wait, this is your first time?
Oh, no.
As a co-host?
Actually, no.
No, you've done the co-host.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he slots in quite well.
Well, I'm happy to be here with just two other like swaggy brown men, all different, you know, ethnicities. We're really killing it. Who would have thought? It's 2019.
We got black, Japanese. Are you Taiwanese?
Chinese? No.
Chinese?
Grew up in Taiwan.
Oh, you grew up in Taiwan.
Oh, no. My dad grew up in Taiwan. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry. I think that's where I got.
Yeah. There's
conflated the two.
You know, Chinese Civil War. It's fine.
Okay. Chinese Civil War, broken home, and Steve?
I'm a Mexican and an Italian.
See, look, motherfucker, we got the UN in the building.
Yeah, it feels great. I'm really happy
to be
here.
We have like one of the more obscure UN committees. Yeah.
People, not many Security Council votes, but we're doing all right. Well, Steve, before we get to know you a little bit better, we'll walk people through a little bit what we're about to talk about. First, an update with the racist Jesus Christ. Checking in with someone from Iowa. You can guess who that is. We're talking about Herman Cain pulling out of his Fed nomination race, but for a different reason, because he's just balling too much to be taking some broke boy job at the Fed. We're talking about Twitter users. I guess Twitter users are more woke, maybe? Make more money? I don't know. That's what the research says. Mm-hmm. We got an insecure man basically ruining the world and this country. I'll let you take one guess who that is. Nicolas Cage. Okay, we're moving on. No, it's Donald Trump. And also a few other things. We're talking about Netflix, a.k.a. Detflix, and Aunt Becky with oh man, she's in court now, and she's gearing up to have the whitest defense ever used in a court trial, and I can't wait to let y'all know about that one. But first, Steve, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are as a human, as a Mexican-Italian?
Currently, I run comedy shows and stuff like that, so it's a lot of comics names, but also besides that, I don't know if you picked up on this, Miles, but I'm a gamer now. I don't know if you've been seeing my social network stuff. Yeah.
What you playing? What
Spider-Man.
You playing? Oh, yeah. Shit.
So it was, how do I stop this airplane?
Yeah, drop the fucking bomb.
How do I stop this airplane wing? I'm just sitting at my gamer chair now. I haven't gamed since Halo, so it's been about 20 years.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, I'm just gaming now. My girl's gaming. We're watching each other game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's are nasty, y'all doing that thing right. where you straddle her, like you sit on her lap facing her, like like chest to chest, but y'all looking each other over shoulders playing games on opposite sides? So y'all can dual game and be intimate?
No. I will tell you, the last time I gamed, I've always been against gaming, because especially I just think about like in high school and stuff, and you just, all these guys' girlfriends just watching you play like NBA Jams or something
right,
like that.
Right, very bored.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't want to put anyone through that. But now the new games are just so fun to watch. And when she's playing, I just like watching her, and I'm pulling for her, and I'm like, we're on the same team, girl.
Oh,
so,
shit,
yeah,
look at you.
It is very romantic.
I like how like sort of considerate you are. Like your shame wasn't like, man, gamers whack, or like that shit makes you look like a loser. Like, I just really feel bad if I think about all the people who had to stand idly by when someone else gamed.
That was truly one of the big things I didn't want to. I didn't want to put my girl through that, but she'll just come and she'll crack a LaCroix and sit on the couch, and she'll be like, oh, dang, girl. She'll be like, dang, babe, you're doing it. Like that. I'm not kidding. Yeah, I'm like, this is awesome, man.
You're like, yeah, beat up those dudes. Ooh, is this like a stronghold?
Yeah.
Damn. Is there a boss?
Yeah, I think she's better than me at gaming. She's younger, sharper. I love watching her. I love learning from her. This isn't just about me, you know? Even though it's a single-player game, we're learning together, I think.
Holy shit. That was beautiful.
Is your girl game?
Fuck no. but she gets that, like, it's a thing that I really enjoy. So because we have a healthy relationship, she's like, all right, that's your thing, you know?
What are you playing, Miles?
Oh, I'm playing the Division 2. I'm always playing FIFA. I'm dabbling in Red Dead. Too many games came out too quickly that I'm spread too thin.
Yeah.
And like, I'm playing the Division online, and sometimes I hop on with some Zyg Gang people, but I haven't been grouping up with everybody because my level is so low and people are so much stronger than me. Like, I'll play, they just kill everybody, and I literally haven't done shit. So I'm getting carried through the game.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get my level up. That way I can come with it and, contribute accordingly. And if you like Halo, actually, you probably like the Division too.
It's called the Division?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not as well, but two,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Division 2, yes. Yeah, yeah. Not okay. Like Step Up 2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The
yeah,
streets. Yeah.
The Division.
The dance movie. I started playing PUBG Mobile again.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
That shit is...
Just quick question to get on Spider-Man. What suit are you using?
I really can't get away. I love that punk rock suit.
Yeah,
I'm at like the halfway point of the game.
Yeah, so
and
you're
I'm,
like hitting that guitar riff.
Yeah,
you want everybody
and
off
I'm,
the roof.
I'm not really even trying to win the game. I'm doing all the side missions.
Sure,
too.
Sure.
I don't want it to end.
What's just so fun to swing around?
Oh yeah.
Like I remember when I first got that game. I'm not joking. I spent the first 2 hours just web slinging around the fucking place.
Well, yeah, I'm at level 25 on my guy. So like now I've got a lot of. I didn't understand. I mean, I'm telling you, I haven't played since Halo, and right. Even then I bought the Xbox, I played Halo, I beat Halo, and that's like all I did,
right?
All the stuff they're doing, I didn't understand that you could like power up your different like weapons, like
yeah,
the webs
yeah.
and everything, so I'm just getting into all of that stuff. I bought my I'm gonna say the helmet, but I bought the online helmet.
Headset?
Yes.
Yo, I like it better. You got a fucking full-on helmet on.
And
the helmet for online.
You're like, babe, you're doing good. You're like, call me Master Chief.
I thought they were just regular. I thought you could just like listen, like play with them
sure.
They were regular headphones, but they're not. They're just for... just to play with my nephews because they're into Fortnite. They're like 10 and 8. So, but I haven't really gotten into Fortnite yet. But
okay, look at you, Uncle of the Year.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. I'm having a great time. I'm sorry I talked trash about all you people for all those years. It's just so amazing what they're doing in gaming now. Like the story. I mean, just so many side projects. When I was Miles Morales for a little bit,
yeah.
I was like, they didn't have to do this. They're just
did. Yeah, but they did it.
Yeah, they're just doing this because they obviously love games and they love the story. And it's just... so cool. I'm so blown away by
Also, a lot of the programmers are chained to their desks for 80 hours a week. But other than that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't get into the grind part, especially towards the end of development where they're like, we said it was coming out in a month. That's I don't give crazy. A fuck if you all overwork yourselves to the end. Yeah, yeah, that is the very dark side of the video games we play.
Yeah, thanks for that, good. Andrew.
Oh, enjoy it.
Yeah. Fuck off.
I guess there's a,
enjoy that.
I guess there's an Easter egg in the new Spider-Man. Do you see this shit? Where there's like visibly Hasidic Jews on the streets generally, and they don't come out on Saturday. The characters.
Are you serious?
On Saturday in-game, yeah.
How do you know it's in-game? Is there a day of the week?
It was on Kotaku. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, now I didn't realize, but I guess days do go by. It does get dark and sunny.
I think there's yeah, days.
Yeah, I mean, outside my house when I'm gaming.
I think there's days in the world.
Yeah.
I think. There, as I don't as know. I understand from this article.
Look, man, I think time is a flat circle.
I have made a conscious effort to not game too much, but I've gone down already. I've had the system for 3 weeks now, and I have gone down three different times where it's like, there goes 5 hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or it's 5 a.m. right now.
Yeah.
And I just go, Alexa, you know, 45 minutes. And then I'm pretty good at sticking to that.
Right. And then it's like, it's before we're like, yes, shut the fuck up. Yeah. I got to beat Electro real quick. All right. What's something you think is overrated?
Threesomes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Go on.
Not enough. Not right. Enough
humble brag. Oh, that's a weird flex, but okay.
It's that. They're overrated. They're too. I think they're too, unless you've experienced a bunch of them. I've had a bunch of threesomes. I'm kind of like a sex god around the LA comedy community. Everyone knows that.
And in any community.
Yeah, in most communities. but yeah, they're overrated. Someone's always left out. And
That's what I feel.
Yeah, there's someone's always left out, and it's sad. Half of the time, it goes awful. And those are bad odds.
Oh, like it means like people's feelings are hurt?
Yes.
Oof.
Yeah, that happens half of the time.
It's not like what you see in the porno where like the other person who's maybe out is like, oh, yes, I'm loving this. Oh, fuck yeah, no. I'll keep doing it, daddy.
Oh, you watch different porno than I do. The porno that I watch always has one person that's sad.
Sighing?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too.
Well, that's called cuckold porn that you're watching.
Threesomes are overrated, but if you're going to do them, you got to go two guys, one girl. It's the absolute best way to do it. Trust me. I mean, you've seen the pornography with that.
Yeah.
There's always one girl like rubbing someone's leg. It's like someone gets left out. If you just all agree that we're going to worship the woman right here and then you have two guys doing it, it's super fun. Everyone's having a great time. But generally, I don't know if I'm going to have another one.
I'm not in a situation where I've had the opportunity to have a threesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Typically, in your experience, how does the agreement come about where people are like, okay, it's time for a menage?
It is just something in the air.
Are you a swinger?
I mean,
that's a pride.
We can do whatever we want. Kind
okay,
of,
got
but,
you.
But with respect and everything like that.
Sure.
Like ethical non-monogamy. I've had a ton of group sex with my ex-partner. We used to swing for like a couple of years and then we are polyamorous and stuff. I don't know if polyamory is a real thing, but no disrespect to anyone. But if it is, I'm one of those.
Gotcha.
I can't tell. It's something I'm trying to figure out like in my heart. Like, is this a real thing or is this me not wanting to go deep with somebody?
Right.
So
right.
I don't know if that's a real thing or not. I could do all that stuff. It's fun. And she can do all that stuff. So
shout out to threesomes overrated.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but they are overrated. It's almost like it's almost like getting married. You got to do it first. And then you realize like, oh, that's probably a bad idea.
Oh,
it's all a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, once you get married, and most married people, and they look back and they go, oh man, like. Even if you've done that before, even if you love your thing, you're like, we didn't have to do all of that. Like, we could have just done this.
I am not close to getting married, but I'm realizing my primary motivator for doing so would be because I feel like I owe so many people for nice weddings that I've been to.
Oh, wow.
So maybe I should just throw a party.
Yeah,
like a
really
very
nice,
expensive
big party yeah.
And just be like, I got you guys back for the wedding.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just keep cooking up those bologna sandwiches,
man. Oh, yeah.
I will accept that as payment.
All right. Well, you've been to my wedding, then.
Yeah, I've been to your wedding. what's something you think is underrated?
Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh, keep talking that shit. Go on. I like this.
You go to Disneyland, there's all these people out here. By the way, when I was single for 1 year, I dated a girl with a Disney pass. This is that was my mistake.
We call them APs.
Yeah.
What's that annual mean? Pass holders.
Oh, yeah. That was like rough. I almost got one too. That's how the place I was in my life, though, where I almost got one too.
How does that run you?
I think if I understand correctly, like a one with parking that's like pretty decent is like $500
for a year.
For a year.
Okay.
And but the way I was talking
so to less than $2 a day if you go every day.
I mean, I was talking to this girl
for $2 a day. Every
I went
day.
On, I went on five dates with this woman. And like from the date, first date, she was like trying to pass. She's like, if you think about it, you know, you're having a bad day. You just head out to Disneyland mm-hmm. after. She's like, go on a couple rides, no big deal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, you're making a lot of sense. You know? Right.
They're but, like, yeah, if that's your way, you could soothe instantly. Like, yeah, man, the cable guy didn't show up. Fuck, I'm going to Disneyland.
But yeah, I've never liked Disneyland, even when I was little. Because you feel taken advantage of. It's like they're just trying. Yeah, I mean, I feel
as a child, you were like. This feels weird.
Oh, yeah. It's part of my personality type. When people overcharge me like that, it's like, you're just trying to get me.
But how did you, as a child, what was your first inclination in your child mind? Were you like, something's wrong? Something's up here, Disneyland. Something's up.
I know how you grew up, Miles. I haven't talked too much of you. But if you're kind of poor and your parents aren't the best parents, then you're aware of money very much all the time.
Got you.
You know, the bills. I always saw when a red one would come.
And you knew the stress that caused in the house. Yeah, all that. Sure.
So I was very aware of prices walking into that. Disneyland, you walk in there, you feel taken advantage of. I know it's too much money.
Oh, you meant from a price standpoint, yeah. Not like mm-hmm. some other weird shit that they're like, they're being exploitative of my child brain.
No,
they're being smiles and shit.
No,
like,
it's just being exploitive of us with money.
With
they're
money,
just trying
you.
To
yeah.
take all our
yeah,
money.
Yeah, bleed you dry.
Yeah. Now, you want to talk about Knott's Berry some Farm, value. Right? No, now, that's a value. Yeah. That's a working man's amusement
what
park
is,
right there.
Where is Knott's Berry Farm?
It's in Buena Park.
Right. It's about follow-up question.
Yeah.
Where's Buena Park?
It's about, if you got in here, no traffic, it would take you maybe 40 minutes, 45 minutes to get to Knott's Berry Farm.
Okay.
Now, you their annual pass, Andrew,
mm-hmm.
$130. That includes access to their water park in the summer.
Oh, shit.
That includes
that
parking.
That actually sounds like a... What is that? What is a day pass for Knott's Berry Farm?
I don't know. Just buy the annual pass. It's almost like Universal Studios.
Yeah.
It's like
a Disney starting one for a SoCal resident is $3.99,
and that's no parking.
But with wild blackout dates
yes.
too. If you want that Knott's Berry Farm annual pass,
I think they pay you now.
Yo, you can get a season pass for 5 payments of $15.50.
What?
After initial payment, hold on. Let me pull up what the actual stats are on this. God damn, $75.
No, and they even know.
That has to be more because initial payment's probably a lot more.
No, it's not. And they're also like, we know these fools are going to have to make
$98.
Yeah,
for
total?
A regular gold. If you want platinum, God damn, $218.
That's the best of the best. You get to hang out with John Knotts at that point.
Yeah.
He shows you around the farm.
Yeah. Also great, yeah. If you want boysenberry pie and stuff like that, good stuff at the Knott's Berry Farm.
They always have the.
Oh
boys-
wait, right? Is it so? It's actually a berry farm. There's berries and whatnot.
That's how it was started.
Yeah. Is there a Knott's Berry that's popular? I'll look it up.
It's
while boysenberry.
You go there. They created the boysenberry.
Yes,
that's a real thing.
Whoa.
Yeah, so the Knott's Berry Farm goes back to like the 50s or 60s. This is real history too.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you gotta love
for SoCal.
You've got to love the amusement park that like is based on a man making preserves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And also the Mrs. Knott's chicken restaurant.
Yes.
I haven't been there recently since my palate has evolved a little bit. My fear is that the shit is dry as fuck. But they got that chicken dinner with the fried chicken that was also like a staple.
Yes.
And you go to Knott's Berry Farm, you get some boysenberry.
Oh.
You go to the chicken restaurant, you get a fucking big ass pickle.
Yeah. For like $20, you get this huge dinner with like 5 courses that includes dessert. You can get a chicken pot pie or the couple of huge pieces of fried chicken, biscuits, gravy.
Or you're almost
potatoes.
Suspicious of it if
so
it's
this
a
is,
chicken or not. It's
this
so
is
big.
Perfect for me because, as Steve is aware, we went to a Dodger game a week ago. I could not stop talking about what I was going to eat at the Dodger game for fully 2 days, I feel like.
You're stressing, huh?
Well, no, it's because I think I've been trying to like eat a little healthier, but
at a Dodger game.
Well, yeah, but so my cheats are like if I'm at a sporting event or if I feel like it, I will eat whatever the fuck I want. Anyway, I went disgusting. We brought banh mi into the stadium. I had 2 Dodger dogs.
You smuggled some banh mi.
You can bring you can bring food into Dodger Stadium.
You can?
Yeah.
And you can bring in any bottled water or bottled drinks as long as they're closed, non-alcoholic. And you can bring in chips and peanuts and all that stuff. It just has to be closed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's always been like that?
This is for the Daily Zeitgeist fans out there. It's always been like that.
Yo, because my friend, my friend who I used to go with, my neighbor, they would occasionally get tickets from like their work season pass or whatever. his dad used to just pound the wild like Coors like in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And then we would go in and he would be like, yo, keep this on the low. Like we'd bring other shits in with him. So we were like kind of smuggling to begin with. Yeah. And I didn't know the whole time.
You could just like, walk
yo, you could have done this out in the open.
You
man.
Can walk in brazenly.
You bring a pizza in there.
Yeah. Oh. I fully brought in Domino's.
Yo, that would
before.
Be a hilarious experiment. We try and like test the limits of what they're like. Okay, hold on. You're bringing it, like catering trays right now.
I think you can do it.
Yeah.
Go to the pavilion. We should go to the pavilion, bring in catering trays, and just feed the masses. Okay. Anyway, that's a good note. Finally, Steve.
Yeah.
What is a myth? What's something that people get wrong? What's a myth that you're just looking out there and being like,
I think
this ain't it.
I think the God of the Old Testament gets a real bad rap.
Wow. Yeah.
I think people think he's mean and they don't like him.
Yahweh?
Yeah. Yeah, Yahweh, Jehovah, uh-huh. you know, uh-huh. yeah, all of that. I think he gets such a bad rap. When you're growing up, you're like, oh, Jesus, what a good guy. You know, he seems nice and stuff.
Right.
Forgives you for all your sins. But that's not the kind of guy when you get older that you want to be rolling with. You want a guy you can count on that what his word means something. You know what I mean? He stands for it. See, he loses his cool sometimes, but, you know, I mean, I used to be a pastor, so I was a minister at a mega church.
You were?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, at Faith Community Church in West Covina. I hear it's not doing so
West
hot
Co,
now.
Okay, in the building.
Yeah, but
great
IKEA. I grew up in the Great IKEA.
Great IKEA in West Covina.
The parking is really
oh,
great.
Oh, yeah, for LA people, they know. Like, if the Burbank one's too fucked up,
yeah.
take a little drive out to West Co.
This episode is full of LA tips.
Yeah. yeah.
Pure LA.
Well, yeah, I'm a LA local native. Yeah. So, yeah. So I grew up with that, and I never liked the idea of Jesus, or I didn't like the idea. I knew even then that the Apostle Paul ripped off like the Jewish religion, like the way he tagged on the New Testament to the Old Testament was always kind of shady. Like I knew that in my heart. But I was mad at God for murdering people in the Old Testament, which he murders a bunch of people.
Yeah.
But the older I get, the more I'm like, well, come on, he could do whatever he
You're
wants.
You're like, he He's said God. He was going to
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
He told you the rules.
Yes.
And y'all violated.
Yes.
So.
And also, if you look at the Bible chronologically,
yeah.
the Old Testament especially, a lot of people put God over time. They say God's above time, so he doesn't exist in the past or present. But if you put God in time, the Bible makes a lot more sense. Like, if you were an all-powerful being and you created these things, then you would murder them at first. You wouldn't understand.
Right. Okay.
So, but you see that if you look at God in time and that he was learning to interact with us as a species, as a people— then you can see that he's growing and learning. People don't like the idea of God growing or learning either.
Right, because he's supposed to be omniscient.
Yeah, but how? If you're an all-powerful being and you've never interacted with people that aren't all-powerful, of course there's going to be a learning curve,
yeah, it's
right?
like when Dr. Manhattan like pulls up and he's like, oh, shit, I didn't know I just touched that dude and he exploded.
Right.
Yeah. So, or just like God was like, yeah, homie, if you've said, kill your fucking son for me real quick.
Yeah.
Well, and then realizing like, ooh, let me dial that back for the next time.
Next season, season two. God. Yeah, like the pantheon of Greek people, they're like putting axes in each other's heads all the time and eating each other. That's just fun. It's like a cartoon.
Well, that makes more sense. That's why all the Greek gods, all that stuff, they look like us. That makes sense that there's a bunch of different gods. Oh, okay, if that effed up thing happens, then that was the god of war.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Or that kind of thing. That makes sense. When you just have one god like that, he gets a lot of guff because a lot of bad things happen on this earth. But I'm just saying.
Not to me, though.
Yeah.
Look, yeah. He was a capricious youth. You know, let's just talk it up to that. You know, he was learning.
Young god. And then older God.
Older yeah. God. Let him get a 6,000 years mm-hmm. under his belt.
Well,
you
speaking
know what I mean?
Of God, I just want to bring up very quickly the Nazi taint scab himself, yes. a.k.a. Congressman Steve King from Iowa. He recently, you know, he's been going through a lot. Mm-hmm. He recently found out that white supremacy is not fucked with in this country. Well, by a good majority of people. A significant amount of people.
By a thin majority of people.
Yeah, thin majority. But nonetheless, a significant amount of people.
A thin majority and a distressing number of them not white.
Yes. And a few people were pointing out, look, he sounds like he's caping for white supremacy and using all this coded language and on other times completely uncoded language, just straight up yeah. in your face like, what's wrong with white civilization being under attack? Oh, I'm a bad guy now? Anyway, so he recently, speaking to a crowd about the future of Christianity, he was asked by a pastor, I believe by the name of Pinky Perkins, what they thought, and you know, just sort of like his trials and tribulations. And this is Steve King says, quote, "For all that I've been through, and it seems even strange for me to say it, but I am at a certain peace, and it is because of a lot of prayers for me. And when I have to step down to the floor of the House of Representatives and look up at those 400 and some accusers, you know, we just passed through Easter and Christ's passion, and I have better insight into what he went through for us.
You put the capital H on that he.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, boy, respect the Trinity, baby. So, yeah, he, I guess, is Christ.
Yeah.
He knows better about Christ, you know?
Well, let me just say, this Stephen King's come a long way since The Shining. I liked his early stuff, and the Dark Tower series he capped off with.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't like that last book, but this new stuff is funnier. I think.
It's interesting. It's interesting. It's definitely out of his wheelhouse, but we'll keep an eye on it.
That's the one thing, whenever you could look at any book and call it inerrant, which a lot of Christians believe that the Bible is perfect, then you can do a lot of really effed up things with that thing. That's how they were able to keep slavery going.
Right.
And I really, they're just stupid. The idea that whiteness is in the Bible at all.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just dumb.
Who's
people.
White in the Bible?
Nobody.
No one.
No one's white.
Jesus. Yeah. Hey, pull up to Judea right now.
Yeah.
What they look like.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What's good over there? What's good in Egypt?
But they, you know, these people are monsters, but I mean, I do think that is very funny.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, shout out to anyone who tries to put themselves, make themselves a martyr, and then make yourself, put your Christ complex on display like that when you are so clearly in the wrong. I mean, the cognitive dissonance, baby, the mental gymnastics.
Look, here's the mental consistency is, for Steve King, his Jesus is indisputably a white supremacist. So in that sense... A lot in common.
Yeah, boom.
A lot in common. Racist right. Jesus loves Steve King.
Yeah, good. He loves us all. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. And just want to talk about Herman Cain real quick. Mr. 999 with one of the worst tax plans ever put forward. You know, he was put up to be a nominee for one of the open seats at the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken in the past about how the Fed is not just some shit you can just toss some dude in who used to run a pizza chain.
Yeah.
Because they have tremendous oversight powers, setting interest rates. They have to regulate things. They're not just a glamour position. And you need a very good understanding of economics to work there. So anyway, Herman Cain was put out as a nominee. Everyone was like, are we fucking for real right now? Just because this is like someone Trump knows who vaguely said something about the economy and worked at the Fed in Kansas City.
I mean, indisputably, Herman Cain has a better understanding of economics than Donald Trump, though.
Oh, absolutely.
So for him, he's like, this guy knows everything.
He's like, this brother, he's pretty smart, this guy. Usually they're wasting their money on chains and shit. I like this Herman Cain guy. That's, you know, he's saying some shit like that. Anyway, it came out, you know, obviously people looked at his past. He had to pull out of the presidential race because of allegations of sexual misconduct. Then the Senate made it pretty clear, like off the record, when people were asking GOP senators, like, hey, what do you think about Herman Cain? They're like, he's unfucking confirmable.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you that right now. They're like, I know I'm like a rubber stamp for this president.
Yeah, and that's for Republicans.
Like, yeah, and they're like, this guy knows fuck all. Like, there's no way. He has, wait, this, I can't, no, no. So, inevitably, he was going to puff his chest out a little bit. He said, I don't care. Even if that's the rumor, I'm still gonna go through with it because I know I can do it. Then suddenly he, I think, realized the jig was up and took his pizzas to go. But he wants everybody to know. He wants everyone to be clear. It's not because he was unconfirmable or wholly lacking the pedigree for the position or anything like that. It was because he's too ballin' to take this gig. He said, quote, at the same time, I was told that what the ethical restrictions would be, I would have to let go of most of my business interests. I could not serve on any boards. I could not do any paid speeches. I could not advocate on behalf of capitalism, host my radio show, or make appearances on Fox Business. Without getting too specific about how big a pay cut this would be, let's just say I'm pretty confident that if your boss told you to take a similar pay cut, you'd tell him where to go.
What a
motherfucker was out here being like, I'm going to run the Fed. And now being like, nah, homie. Oh, I saw the pay. No. Just so you know, he would have made $183,000 a year, roughly. That's around the average.
Yeah, yeah.
But so that leaves Trump with Stephen Moore as his other pick to take up the Fed chair. And this guy has been such a joke from the beginning. Like, he's been advocating for the gold standard, and people like press him to the sort of like, tell us about your nonsense gold standard idea. And he's like, oh, I never said that. And then on CNN, they played a whole fucking montage of him caping for the gold standard. And he's like, well, you know, I may have said that. He's like, and I think that makes sense, but I don't personally think it's necessary. And it's like, you slippery motherfucker.
I mean.
He also said he's not much of an economist, self-admittedly.
Oh.
Even though he has a master's.
I'm a little like, I can't believe Herman Cain. What a chump for like. I mean, I know it's just a lie, but like pretending the ethical restrictions have any bearing on any member of the Trump administration.
Like, well, at least he's out in the open with it. He's like, look, I'm going to be real. I'm a scumbag and I'm trying to get every fucking check I can.
Yeah.
And if I take this job, there goes my everything dries up. So thank you next.
It's also funny that like, obviously, like you'd think money would be a bigger part of where the backstop Republicans. It's like where Berlusconi in Italy could do anything until the fucking money got devalued and all of a sudden it was like, no, you're out like within a week. Like, so it's just weird. It's just weird or whatever. I guess I don't understand economics.
I'm sorry. What's weird?
That like Trump can fuck with the economy so much and like the actual powers that be haven't put a stop to that yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's why. Well, because right now the deregulation has led to good profits for those people who are typically trying to bleed as much capital out of the system as possible.
But I think that's why they like Herman Cain. That's
this guy will actually fuck shit up. So back to Stephen Moore. Recently, you know, CNN uncovered some of his writings from, you know, look, and these are hot takes from 2002, y'all, when nobody was awake. But this, the sexism, man, let me just tell you, in one of his columns, he suggested changes to the March Madness tournament to get rid of, quote, un-American aspects of it. The first rule proposed by Moore was no women. So this is what he wrote in his column. Here's the rule change I propose. No more women refs. No women announcers. No women beer vendors. No women anything. There is, of course, an exception to this rule. Women are permitted to participate if and only if they look like Bonnie Bernstein. The fact that Bonnie knows nothing about basketball is entirely irrelevant. And then he also wrote that Bernstein, who was a CBS journalist at the time, should wear halter tops.
I mean, was he being funny in the article? It sounds like he was, right?
Well, in a way, but like, it's clearly like the take where, based on his other writings, he's the kind of conservative who back then would be like, you know, this is bullshit. We're fucking it up. Because like in 2002, this was like a take people would really say.
Well, this is a Tim Allen. This is like Home Improvement humor, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is where he starts sounding like some dude out of Supercuts who's upset that he got bounced from the next chair. So earlier in the column, he had more anger that there was even a female referee in this, like in a March Madness game. And he said, how outrageous is this? If this year they allowed a woman to ref a men's NCAA game, liberals celebrate this breakthrough as a triumph for gender equity. The NCAA has been touting this as an example of how progressive they are. I see it as an obscenity. Is there no area in life where men can take a vacation from women?
Oh my God, that's not joking.
Yeah. What's next? He said, what's next? Women invited to bachelor parties? Women in combat? Oh yeah, they've done that already. Why can't women ref the women's games and men the men's games? I can't wait to see the first lady ref have a run in with Bobby Knight. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, that's the guy who. This is someone who has ideas about our economy.
Yeah.
This is the kind of forward thinking he was demonstrating in 2002, just around seeing a woman refereeing a basketball game.
It's like, I guess to me the thing that's funny is like, right-wing shit like never really improves. Mm-hmm. Like the rhetoric doesn't really improve. Like it is, you're right. It's like a Home Improvement bit. And it's wild that he did it. But God, put a spin on it, guys. Like you could hear this on Joe Rogan like this week if you wanted to.
Yeah, they don't. I think the Republican Party doesn't reward any kind of new thinking.
So
there's no reason.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Why would they?
That's why they don't come up with new stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody's really trying to. Well, I guess what's his name? Ben Shapiro tries to act like he's coming up with new like insights. Right?
Tries to, but it's just very superficial.
Yeah.
I mean, I think really the
they're not new insights.
Yeah, the North Star of conservatives is just to avoid being wrong.
Oh.
That's everything is done in service of just, oh, you can't prove I was wrong on that. Just dodging. It's never, here's an idea that we can prove is like objectively good and works. Everything is just more of like, that sucks. And don't try and nail me on my take on it, because I'm just going to disagree with everything you say. There's no, like you're saying, there's no advancement of any kind of thought, aside from maybe just ramping up the attacks on people of color or transgender people, LGBTQ yeah. people. Like, that's the one thing that maybe they are making
but
progress
it's like the
on
same
is being
style.
More, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, guys, this shit could have come from like 1953, 1943, 1933.
Yeah, but
like,
see,
this is crazy.
Andrew, you're a woke Twitter user, you mm-hmm. know, and that's why mm-hmm. you desire mm-hmm. more nuance, because. This
oh
is,
man!
I'm pivoting now.
Yeah, that was a story. Jack's away, and the fucking
the
segues
pivots, yo,
are
I'm
just
pivoting
boom.
In the paint like a fucking woo. This watch this drop step real quick. So obviously, we know Twitter is a hellscape echo chamber for mm-hmm. people.
Real quick, because I think this is true for Steve too. I think we vaguely disagree with that sentiment, right?
Yeah, I don't. I love Twitter, but I want to hear do your thing, and then we'll get cooking.
No. I mean, let's talk about Twitter up front. What are your feelings about it? What do you mean?
I think for me, I think too many white people don't just block the bigots.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, because I'm like, and to me, I know the echo chamber thing that is reminiscent of that, and maybe it's just because when I do Yo, Is This Racist, I'm exposed to all this, but I'm like. Right-wing thought is available, super available.
Oh, no. What I mean is yeah. just like for whatever side you're on, it's there for you.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you can
yeah.
get caught up in it however which way you want to is what yeah. I mean. Of course, you can, you're like, you know, I follow a few different people who I like to see what's going on that side of the fence.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, but yeah, people.
Me and Ben Shapiro hang out all the time.
I do see a lot of, you know, white writers, now that I think of it, I wouldn't have thought that, but I don't host a show called Yo, Is This Racist? Mm-hmm. They do say like, oh, this, they'll just tweet about it. This website is making me sick and I can't believe I'm back on it. I've just always, you put down your phone if you want.
Yeah, I think that's what it does too. I think part of subconsciously what feeds me my perception of it being a hellscape is also the feedback loop that yeah. will pull you in.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I do that more on Instagram, where like I just go through stories and I'm not even looking at them shits. I'm just like tapping and I'm like, yo, my brain, I think it just gave out. Anyway, that's beside the point, because what we're talking about now is, so there was a Pew Research study that just came out that wanted to answer the question of like just how different Twitter users are from just the general United States population, and just to kind of see like, is Twitter actually even a like accurate depiction of what people in the United States feel, where they are demographically? And they did this by taking a survey of about almost 2,800 United States adult Twitter users, and then they also shared their handles so they could use Twitter's API to kind of get some more information about them. And they compared that with existing demographic information they had. And the conclusion they came to, Twitter is a lot different than the United yeah. States. So Twitter users are younger. They're more likely to identify as Democrats. They're more highly educated and have higher incomes than U.S. adults overall. And they also said Twitter users also differ from the broader population on some key social issues. For instance, Twitter users are somewhat more likely to say that immigrants strengthen rather than weaken the country, and to see evidence of racial and gender-based inequalities in society. And it also seems, too, that the noisiest ones are making the bulk of the content that you see
yeah.
on Twitter, because about 10% of the most active users are responsible for 80% of the tweets created in the U.S.
Yeah.
So, damn. What you're seeing really like over and over in your feed is like around the 10% of people who are very prolific. And I think
the
most
top
of those
10% in something.
Comedians?
This is fucking great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, no, I talked to, I'm a stand-up, so I've seen over the years now that what people get all worked up about on Twitter, and then I'll go bartend in Covina, and I have an open mic on Thursday nights there too. And I've just know like they, regular people have no idea what the hell everyone's worked up
yeah.
about.
So, exactly.
So the, it doesn't trans, and I mean, I could see it on the same day. So I know whatever everyone's worked out about online, specifically Twitter, because people talk there more than Facebook and yeah. all that stuff, that if you even bring up a joke related to that, you're going to look like a moron.
Yeah. And I think most people, yeah, like it's the most engaged people tend to be on Twitter. Not yeah. that they're exclusively on Twitter, but that's a trait that they have.
Yeah.
And that vibes with a New York Times report recently that was saying that Democrats who don't post political content on social media tend to be more moderate than people who are more outspoken online. And they're also more likely to view political correctness as a problem, less likely to join protests, and less likely to donate to political organizations. And less likely
Democrats.
To follow news. Yeah. Democrats who are not as outspoken online
yeah.
tend to fall into that
demographic.
Old Democrats.
Yeah.
Old white Democrats.
And even like even younger people who I know who are like, you know, will vote Democratic but aren't really engaged, they're the same way where they're like, oh, really? Like yeah. You'll say some shit and they're like, oh, that's going on? And so I think that's all to say that, you know, a lot of the emphasis, even the news puts on what's going on Twitter is a little bit misplaced because, you know, yeah. It's a very specific thing. So, you know,
I think a lot of the hellscape thing comes from people who are surprised at the bad part of Twitter. You know what I mean? Like, oh, there's so much more racism than I thought in the world. That's surprising to me.
Right.
So, of course, you can extrapolate who would be surprised by that sort of thing. So it's just one of the things where it's like, I think people don't realize that even though Twitter is a hexscape, let's say, but the bad part of it, most of is overrepresented in the part of the population that's not on Twitter. Like all the ignorant shit, that's much more pervasive in the non-Twitter part of, you know, not by a lot, but like a little bit, you know.
Oh,
less surprising. Like that was the thing about 2016, I think, for a lot of people that we might know in places like Los Angeles, is like a shocking number of them were surprised by shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, like I'm from Michigan.
Right.
Like it's like this always.
Sure.
The reason it's funny because in that study, it's almost like I don't post that much about politics, especially since 2016, because it was such a battlefield.
Right.
I don't post that much about politics because I do feel like it is mostly other liberals and Democrats, especially people I know.
Right.
So why it just feels foolish to me to be like just throwing my hat out there. Now, I have been crafting my coming out for Elizabeth Warren presidential nominee tweet. Uh-huh. It's going to launch at some point, maybe next Friday.
A teaser to a tweet.
I've been retweeting other people's. I think Chris Cubis, a comic from Austin, wrote like, I like what Elizabeth Warren has to say, and I retweeted it.
Ooh,
it's coming.
Wow,
people,
edgy.
I'm hinting at
God
it.
God damn.
Yeah. But yeah, that's one reason I wouldn't post about political stuff.
Right.
It's because it's to
For you feel like I'm not offering anything to that conversation.
Yeah,
there's so many people. It's congested.
Yeah,
right
everybody's now. Saying the kind of same things about that stuff. I don't. And also, like I said, 2016 was a big lesson where I don't want to be fighting with my friends. I have so many people who I dislike because of 2016 now.
Right.
That if they weren't posting the way they were on Twitter, that I would think better of them. I think the internet, I mean, I'm very careful about what I give the internet, and I don't give them too much of my real self. I write a lot of jokes, but I just don't think these strangers don't deserve my real thoughts or my heart or anything like that.
Sure. Or even just in general, you don't want to, you're giving your power away in a certain extent by even being candid in to a certain level on the internet. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Absolutely. On a podcast, I'll talk about it. Yeah. My friends will talk about anything, but I just know that. I see the way people interact online, and it's like, you wouldn't say that to my face.
Yeah.
And so why are we doing this here? And so I just, in that way, and I know the internet is good for a lot of people who've never had voices or anything like that, but I think in that way, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So especially with politics, I don't want to interact. If I felt like I was doing some good, I'm a bartender in Covina, which is almost the Midwest, basically.
Right.
So I'm talking to Latino guys about stuff, you know, all the time. You know, I'm talking about politics there and when I'm talking to them face to face, but I don't think it does much good on Twitter.
Sure. Well, more in Twitter news.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Dorsey, who looks like Tyrion Lannister, who became a hipster with an Adderall problem, showed up to the White House. Why does Jack Dorsey always wear that motherfucking nose ring with his beard? There's something, whatever.
Because I will tell you why. It's because
he's an edgelord.
A boring, whack white guy who thinks it makes him interesting.
Hey, he looks like hipster Tyrion Lannister. He kind of looks like Jordan Farmar, too. I'm trying to figure out who he looks like. He's got a few different facial parallels. Or like Mikey Day doing a character bit with a beard.
I'm going to nod, but 90% of what you just said went over my head.
That's fine. Peter Dinklage is what I'm saying.
Oh, no, he's got it for sure, like, in the morning, especially when he went to go see Trump yesterday. He had to, like, he was smoothing out his hair looking in the mirror, and he's like, Trump's not going to know what to do with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I look like fucking Pete Wentz, but smart.
I mean, to me, he's like all of San Francisco white guys. All the tech bros are like, it's so predictable the type of things they think make them more interesting. It's just like these, like, they're imaginative in one domain.
Sure, yeah,
who absolutely. Think that translates to other types of creativity, and it does for some. But not to everyone.
Well, look.
And not this moment.
He had to tweet-splain some shit because the president summoned him so he could get to the bottom of a very pressing issue for conservatives. Where the fuck do my followers keep going?
Yeah.
And was very
That's what
upset.
The meeting yes. was about?
Trump yeah. was like, what is going on with my follower count? And he calmly explained, look, we have a practice where we identify bot spam accounts and we purge them from the platform because they are not real fucking human beings. At best, it's just someone who's not doing shit with it or mm-hmm. someone who's just trying to create a bunch of accounts. At worst, it could be someone like Russia who's just trying to signal boost with these bot accounts. There's that. And it turned into this thing like, yeah, well, you know, a lot of conservatives are, they're concerned that the follower counts are all over the place.
Yeah.
And I think that's where they're failing to make the connection that a lot of these accounts are following them to signal boost their shit to
yeah.
give some credence or some semblance of legitimacy to what they're saying. And like that real Americans are engaging with this stuff. And some are, but there's a lot that aren't.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty simple explanation.
It's just like so sad to be like all these you know, all these conservatives, our followers counts always go down after there's a bot purge.
Right.
There must be a conspiracy.
Right. Not I'm like, I'm the team where the bot makers are trying to
yeah,
support me.
Not like, oh, my largely unpopular bankrupt philosophy needs to be propped up by bots.
No.
No, it's not that.
No.
It's not that.
It's an anti-conservative fucking conspiracy, man. Motherfuckers deep stating me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, I say it all the time. If these guys weren't in control of the world, I think this would be the funniest thing
yeah,
in the world.
No, yeah, it really would be.
On The Dark Knight Returns, you know, the famous Frank Miller graphic novel from the 80s, they make President Reagan look like such a puppet and like an a-hole. And, I mean, I just can imagine the stuff you can't write it.
Right.
The stuff Trump says and comes up with the fact that he called Jack to his office to talk to him about this stuff is the funniest
yeah.
stuff in the world if he wasn't ruling the free world.
It made yeah. me think, like, if you're just like, if this were a bit you were writing, like, if you were president, what is
yeah.
your equivalent ridiculous summoning to the Oval Office you would do to abuse your power?
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a King Ralph. Oh, oh yeah.
Personally,
high CEO of Taco Bell.
Just tell who, what business leader would you summon to change something about their business for just your own personal benefit?
No, CEO of Taco
and,
Bell.
Not, what would you say?
Not enough breakfast shit at the Echo Park location.
Even though you're potentially living at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, you're still holding it down.
I'm still holding
for
it down
Echo
for
Park.
My
T-Bell.
Brief people.
Okay.
I'd bring back the CEO of MoviePass.
Uh-huh.
And just, you know, let's fix things up around here. There is a real
yeah.
way. You didn't have to do what you did.
Right, right, right.
Like, they've just tanked the thing, too. But even a 2-movie-a-week thing, there's a lot of people who are ready to get on board
wow.
to pay $20 even.
So you're not even being like, you need to explain yourself. You're like, hey, let me help you out with this thing.
Yeah.
Well, we knew when MoviePass happened at $9.99, any movie every day,
yeah.
we knew that.
It was
this is a bad idea.
Yeah, it was literally too good to be true.
Yeah, we knew, and everybody, for those 9 months, that gold rush
right.
of movies was amazing, was so fun. I saw Rampage late on a Tuesday night at the Glendale Pacific Theater.
Best movie theater in America.
Yeah. You like that theater?
Oh, yeah. Did I tell you about my
evening? The one on Brand?
Yeah.
The one in the Americana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's, oh, in the Americana.
Here's the night. Marijuana. Sujita Artisan Noodles.
Wow.
A movie. Pie. From Pie Hole.
That is
an 8-hour day. Oh,
wow. DJ down. You activated his heart. You said Sujita.
And when I say movie, the key is you get so high and then so full, and the game is you walk up to the movie theater and you just have
vomit?
To see whatever movie is next.
This is the bullshit I don't like about Andrew.
I know.
Events, the thing that he goes, oh, let's go eat food around this event. Are things that I truly love and care about.
Right, right, right.
With the Dodger game last week,
he
texted me. He's like, hey, let's go to the Dodger game. It's going to be great. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going once a year, mm-hmm. at least once a year besides opening day. They have a nooner or 1 p.m. game on Wednesday or Thursday.
Right, right.
It's everyone ditches work. I was looking forward to this. He hit me up. And all this guy gives a fuck about is the food. He kept texting me about the food.
I treat Dodger Stadium like a hot dog stand that it costs $11 to get into.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's also how much the tickets I paid for.
So that's not what I would talk. That's no, MoviePass would be great.
Yeah.
I'm willing to pay $20 a month. I mean, I don't know. Literally $20 or $30. MoviePass has been around for years. I don't know if you knew that. But I subscribed to MoviePass. The most I paid was $30, and you could see a movie. Only the same movie once, and you could see a movie every 24 hours.
Whoa.
So I paid $30, as much as $30.
How long ago
that?
Was that?
That was, I don't know, 3 years ago.
Oh, so you're a MoviePass hipster, huh? You're on this shit before everybody else. You're
I have a friend, Joel Mandelkorn, who produces a lot of stuff, produces Hot Tub. He went up to 40 with
Wow.
him. And it was everything except for Arclight. And it's the same thing. You can go see...
Whatever.
Yeah, but you can only see it once. There was like rules.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's okay for then there became, to be rules.
Yeah, why is there a rule that you can't see the same movie more than once?
Because they're trying to limit the amount of movies you see.
Right.
Like the reason why MoviePass fell apart, why I had to let it go, is they would blacked out everything except for like this one movie, and then they took away that time. It just got so spotty. Give me some real basic rules, like you can see two movies a week or one movie a week. $20. I'm still saving money.
Boom.
So yes, that's what I would bring the CEO for MoviePass
and work that out. Yeah. Me personally, I would demand that McDonald's begin refrying everything in beef tallow.
Oh yeah,
that's what I want. Back.
I've heard about these fries.
Sorry, yeah. Vegans. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But look, your time is you'll inherit the earth when all of us omnivores just
well,
die.
Well, after we've destroyed it.
Yeah, after we've destroyed it, and after we've there's nothing left. Sorry, but I'm trying. Look, I do Meatless Mondays.
Oh yeah,
sometimes. I do. I try to. Sometimes.
I want everyone to know.
I mean, look, I fuck with vegan food. You know, I actually, once a week, we usually get the Impossible Burger. I only eat the Impossible Burger now.
Oh, yeah. I think if you're going to have a fast food burger, it's actually a little, just get the Impossible.
Just get the Impossible.
And you can afford it.
And it doesn't really, like, taste like meat anyway. Like, even fast food meat doesn't taste like meat, so just do the Impossible. Anyway, just to keep it moving.
Wait, real quick cooking tip, though. Also, if you're making chili, get the, whatever the vegan burgers are, because you can't tell the difference between that and ground beef.
That's good.
Yeah. There you go. Now, just one other thing, just because the president's insecurities, not only around Twitter, but even his election, are putting... the country at risk. There was a report in the New York Times that, you know, things are really fucked up, especially at DHS, where Kirstjen Nielsen, a.k.a. Reichstag Barbie, just took off. And we found out that, you know, she was becoming concerned about Russia's, you know, election meddling, especially with the midterms.
Alleged.
And, yeah. And yeah, right. As were many people in the intelligence community. And she tried to bring it up a few different times, but... in a meeting, Mick Mulvaney, the acting White House chief of staff, basically said, do not bring this up around him at all. This is this is a quote, wasn't a great subject and should be kept below his level, because he does any talk about election meddling triggers his, you know, fear that people are going to suggest that it delegitimizes his presidency, which it does, because from what we've seen, he was the only person to benefit from this meddling. So, of course, he doesn't want to hear about it. Part of me... also is a little bit weary of this story, because it sounds like these stories are trying to come out to paint Kirstjen Nielsen as someone other than the person who was behind the family separation policy and should never be allowed to walk in public again. But hey, I guess the news is news. So just, you know, that's the state of our election security, because as everyone suggests too, 2020, it's going to be a hold on to your butts one more time, because the bots will be coming.
Yeah.
Hold on to your bots, I should say.
I don't get it.
And also, don't forget, come on, man, Jurassic Park.
All right.
And then also, John Bolton last year, he eliminated the position of cybersecurity coordinator at the White House.
Yeah.
So, you know, not a priority. So,
they don't need it.
Again, hold on to your bots. And one last thing about the Trump stuff, just to get one more point in.
The Trump stuff.
Yeah.
A hard-hitting
shit. The Trump shit. You know, as these investigations heat up, he was on Twitter just... whew, I don't even know. He had it.
Yeah.
And was just going on about all kinds of shit. He's fighting every subpoena that is coming his way. He's telling people in his administration to do the same thing, because it's time for there to be some accountability, and they realize some of this shit isn't going to hold up in the light of day. One of the tweets that really sticks out is him saying, if the partisan Dems ever tried to impeach, I would first head to the U.S. Supreme Court. Not only are there no high crimes and misdemeanors, there are no crimes by me at all. Okay, I get that. You've had a pretty successful run by basically defaulting to, or your plan B always being like, let's just take this to the Supreme Court. I've stacked it with enough conservatives, and then the decision will come out on my side there. Unfortunately, my man, you should have read a fucking civics book. Because the Supreme Court wouldn't even touch this shit, because, again, the House has sole power over impeachment, and the Senate has the power to try all impeachments. And if there were a trial in the Senate, Chief Justice John Roberts would be presiding over it. Even in a world where if every Supreme Court justice was a conservative one, they know it's just not constitutionally, it's not a thing they can do. It's just like, I'm sorry, this is a political event.
Yeah.
So we can't hop in here. So, again, he's coming up with things... he's just throwing everything at the wall at this point.
But I think that's the thing. It's like his, like, you know, third grade understanding of president equals king has held up more than the Constitution.
Yeah,
is the thing so far. So I don't know. Maybe he's right.
Yeah, we'll see. Got to try everything.
Yeah.
All right. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, and we're back in a few quick stories. I just want to shout out Netflix, a.k.a. Debtflix, because they just said they're throwing $2 billion more on the debt pile, you know, for stuff, for more content acquisition and things like that. Mm-hmm. We knew that they've just been, you know, deficit spending for the last few years. But what I did not know was what the pay was like for the top people at Netflix. And it will make your eyes water, if not flood. Compensation in 2018.
My eyes are flooding.
Okay, they're flooding, baby. CEO Reed Hastings, 2018, collected $36.1 million in salary bonus and stock awards, up from $24 million in 2017. My man made $60 million in the last 2 years.
Cool. Just for losing $12 billion?
Yeah, yeah, it's all good. It's all good. It's the biggest thing ever.
Yeah.
Also, Chief Content Officer Ted Sarandos made $29.6 million, up from $22.4 million. So, you know, he didn't have as good a year as a CEO. But, you know, he's doing his thing.
What's Netflix's end game?
I think it's probably just to become so big that someone like an Apple or someone just buys them to be like, now we're the captain now.
But aren't they too big for that?
We don't know. That's where I don't know what they're I think a lot of people are trying to figure out what their end game is, because they're spending money like it's going out of
stock. The end game is we cornered the market.
Right.
We're going into deficit spending to corner the market, then they just have everyone forever, right? If it's the only way to get entertainment, which is their goal.
But yeah, that's not going to be. I mean, the Disney thing.
But they
got to
try.
Yeah, but still, I mean, whoever's giving them this money.
Yeah.
They're not going to get their money back.
They're still shareholders. They're still shareholders who are like, hey, like, what's good? What are we doing here?
No, it's like two pyramid schemes. It's great. It's like the pyramid scheme of the content and the pyramid scheme of the actual money. Fucking hell yeah, Netflix. Buy Steve's comedy special when he has it.
Yeah. Buy everyone's comedy special.
Yeah.
I mean, we should, fuck it, man. Netflix.
It's how we redistribute
put
the wealth.
Put Yo, Is This Racist and Daily Zeitgeist as our own show every day. We'll do it every day. Just give us that Netflix check. But I will not take less money than Beyonce, just so you know.
Yeah.
Now, one last thing, and I just want to move on to Operation Varsity Blues, the Aunt Becky saga, the song of white privilege and ice by George R. R. Martin.
Are you saying Aunt Becky's pleading not guilty?
Aunt Becky's pleading not guilty, just so you know. So she had a plea deal. They said, hey, take this plea deal.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not going to jail. So no. And then they're like, okay, so now if you want to go to trial, you're looking at 20 years.
Yeah.
Are you built for that? Can you do two dimes? And it seems like it's stressing her a little bit out. But the only reason I bring this up now is that TMZ has some of the legal tea, okay? And her legal defense is fucking ironclad. Our sources say lawyers for Lori Loughlin and Massimo, shout out to Massimo, 90s brand, didn't take a plea early on because they believe they had a solid defense on several fronts. First, ringleader Rick Singer, the person who they were giving money to, did not tell them how he would use the $500,000 to get their daughters into school. Fact, they were aware Singer did want pics of the girls on a rowing machine, but they say that doesn't mean they knew what the end game was. So essentially, their defense reminds me a little bit about a famous Dave Chappelle joke, and it goes like this.
Sorry, officer, I didn't know I couldn't do that.
They're doing the I didn't know I couldn't do that defense.
Oh, man.
They were like, well, other people pay to build buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe the weird logic they're applying here. That
yeah, honestly.
That was, I mean, to be fair, there is a payola way to get in.
Yeah.
So
it's wild that you would. I know this is not a new take, but you fucking kidding me? You had that money and you elected to spend it this way to try to get your dumb kid into
you gotta
a
spend,
whack school?
You got to spend, you know, seven figures.
Oh, they tried to take a discount. Six. You're saying the discount.
They took the
is a
broke
problem.
Boy. They tried to get in the matinee showing of privilege.
I don't know.
They didn't come out on, they didn't do the midnight showing that they bought eBay tickets off of with three times the price.
Maybe this is more of an East Coast thing and these are West Coast people, but
West Coast?
Like every East, like, you know, when I went to college, I didn't realize that I went to Columbia and that was a lot of rich kids' safety school.
Right.
That's like, and these kids were.
This is your reach school.
Dumb as shit. Yeah, exactly. And it was like, I was like, oh, they just went to a prep school where the head of admissions at Columbia also went to that prep school, and these kids got in, the dumbest people on earth, truly.
Damn.
And I'm like, yeah, it doesn't matter. And that couldn't have cost more than $500,000. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, look, the sad thing just about their I didn't know I couldn't do that defense is, unfortunately, Massimo, he paid $100,000 directly to the assistant athletic director at USC. So I don't know how he's going to feign ignorance on that one. He was like, nah, it was a bet we had on whether or not my daughter would get into USC.
That's a good spin.
I just don't.
I bet my daughter can't.
And she did.
I do not overestimate the ability of white people to get off of being convicted of things, though.
Well, especially the wealthy in general. Yeah. You know,
that's what I'm saying. If there's some way they could figure out a thing where they get a slap on the wrist, I'm sure it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I am not. There's no way.
Well, the prosecutors.
Aunt Becky's not going to jail.
The prosecutors are very clear because Felicity Huffman's going to jail.
Yeah, because she did the plea, right?
But yeah, but she was going to get a. She's getting jail either way because they said even in the plea, the prosecutor's like, there will be jail. I'm not trying to go light on it.
This is so great.
Yeah. So, hey, we'll see what happens.
Shouldn't having your kid go to USC be punishment a lot?
Thank you. Yeah, go Bruins. Yeah, we out here. You know why? What's the thing about a Trojan? They only last one time. Holla back. Drop the bomb. Damn. Yeah, UCLA in the building.
I'm like, this has gone full LA local news. Yeah. Podcast. We're like morning radio.
University
basically.
Of second choice. You know what I mean? University for spoiled children. You feel me?
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. Is the joke then that you go more than one time?
Yeah.
You go two times.
Oh, I reuse condoms over and over again. That's the joke.
I haven't bragged about going more than one time in a long time.
Oh,
I just
yeah.
make that one time count.
Well,
you know what
no,
I mean?
No, no, no.
I leave it on the mat.
It's
you know
a lot
I mean?
Of it's a lot of sighing and yeah. saying, this has never happened before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the mat.
How we do it. Yeah, I got my GED and ED. All right, so Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
Had a blast. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, where can people find you and follow you?
I've got two hit podcasts, Views from the Vista for movies, Who's Your God with Amy Miller for religion ethics talks, and you can find me at Hernia on Instagram, Hot Insta, dedicated to my girlfriend, and Big Hearn on Twitter, and we got a new podcast coming up with the Bad Boys of Twitter. It's called Horned Up next week with Yusuf Roach and Alan Strickland Williams.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, forget about it.
Yusuf. Bro,
yeah.
Whatever he's on, it's melting down.
Yes, we know what Yusuf is. And yeah. We're going to, he's our Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
So you just gotta, yeah.
Wait, sure. he's always horny?
Yeah.
He's always horned up, but you gotta make sure, you gotta hope he doesn't destroy the whole city too.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're ready to go down with the ship. It might last 10 episodes, who knows?
Yeah.
But we love him. I think he's one of the funniest guys in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be great.
Oh man, I'm a big fan of Alan's too. He's gotta come on our show too. And was there a tweet you've been liking?
Yeah, it's actually Yusuf tweeted this the other day. I mean, he's one of my funniest favorite guys on this. This is why I'm just so happy to be working with him.
No, people love Yusuf on this show.
The quote is, "If this is a quote, and he's going to attribute it to someone after. If you go home with someone and they don't know how to read, don't fuck them. That's a child. And that's attributed to John Waters, R.I.P. King. I was so stupid that I even looked up if John Waters died, and of course he didn't.
No,
yeah. But yeah, I love that tweet. He has put he's done a couple of Lena Dunham tweets that I want to get made into T-shirts. I just love him.
Yeah, great one guy. Of my favorites is even when he came on the show the first time. I told him I was like one of your first tweets I saw, and I was like, oh, we got to have you on. Was him standing in front of this like house. And he has like kind of rubbing his mitts, and he's like, had to do it to him. Like, he's just bought the mansion, and then parentheses, I robbed this house. Andrew, where can people find you and follow you?
Oh, you know, Yo Is This Racist, Andrew T, last name is spelled T-I.
Andale, mommy. And what's the tweet you've been liking?
This one's from Left at London. She's a woman who I think does like song, like, recreation type shit,
mm-hmm.
but basically it's a video on Twitter called How to Make a Tyler the Creator song that is fucking hilarious.
Oh yeah, someone on the Zeitgang put me onto that.
It's very
too.
Funny.
Shout
very
out to
funny.
You.
And Tyler the Creator retweeted it, and it's very good. I like when people break down music because I'm not very musical, but like I have a composer friend that will just be like, oh, this is just that song or this.
But with this,
and I'm like.
There's another one too that was like viral years ago when someone just been like how to make an alt J song, and it's fucking unbelievably good.
Yeah, yeah,
it's just
yeah.
like looping. And the guy just sings like this. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like is from Dan Gerwich, very funny writer. Tim Robinson. He's got a new sketch comedy show coming out called I Think You Should Leave. And Dan Gerwich is pointing to a review of this sketch comedy show. Dan writes, cannot stop laughing at this review of I Think You Should Leave, Tim Robinson's incredibly funny sketch show, where the reviewer's problem with the show is the literal definition of sketch comedy. He writes, we get the fact that Robinson has an overall theme in mind with his sketches. He wants to show situations of discomfort or embarrassment. But the problem is, those moments are often projected out to the point of absurdity. I'm sorry, my man. What the fuck? I guess it was too much too much irony and absurdity for this person for it to be humor. And you can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We got a Facebook fan page. We got a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we host our episodes and our footnote.
Footnote?
Thank you, Andrew. God bless. Where we have, you know, we got those links, and we have the songs we ride out on. I just want to go out on Ecstasy, you know, the men from, I think, what, Swindon, England? With this track, When You're Near Me, I Have Difficulty. So shout out to y'all. This is the 2001 digital remaster version of that track, though. With that, we'll see you tomorrow, because it's the Daily Show. Bye. When you're near me, I have difficulty respirating.